And one was
okay,
lit.
Okay, I will. This is that gets my goat. There, I said it. Happy now.
What was that noise?
It was the heater. Hey everybody, this is Big Anklevich.
And this is Rish Outfield.
Welcome to another episode of That Gets My Goat.
Doctor, That Gets My Goat.
Sorry. You cleared it up too quickly. I couldn't say Mr. Doctor. It's strange. It's a little strange.
It is indeed. Tonight we're going to be speaking to you about Marvel Studios' newest film, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. And then we're going to quickly follow that up with a review of the Trolls.
No, please. No. If I can be so clever as to insert the sound of a gunshot, that sums up my thoughts on the movie The Trolls.
All right. Okay, well, we'll start with a review of The Trolls and then move on to Doctor Strange. This is what you should do instead of going to see The Trolls. Okay. All right, so yeah, we went and saw Doctor Strange today. I believe it came out last night at 7 p.m.,
No! Came out tonight for all.
For all those people who wanted to see the midnight showing.
Yeah. We just can't quite manage that anymore. I'm not willing to manage it. I mean, it was difficult just getting into a Doctor Strange tonight. We got together and there was a showing about to start and no place to sit.
We went to a different theater down the street and they also had no seats. And the next showing 20 minutes later also had no seats. And the next showing 20 minutes later, oh, in the end, we saw it 2 hours after we originally hoped to see it. And so we're starting our review at midnight, and therefore it will be a 5-minute review.
Okay, that's doable. I mean, people only have the attention span for a 5-minute review anyway.
Yeah. What was your first general impression? I have to say that I liked it. I did not expect to get a lot from a Doctor Strange show. It was not a character I care. My first
exposure
to Doctor Strange was the Marvel Legends toy line. They did a figure of Doctor Strange. I'd never heard of him, and he's just some guy in a cheesy cape, blah, blah, blah. And he was the peg warmer, the what they call the figure that never sells. It just sits there and keeps those pegs warm, and all the rest of the figures get bought, and that one just sat and sat and sat, and then they started slashing the price on it. It went down from $8 to $5 to $3 to $150 to here, please take my wife. So that was kind of my opinion of Doctor Strange. This guy's a peg warmer, and when they announced they were doing a movie of him, I thought, oh, come on. They're doing a peg warmer movie. Seriously? You know, so with that impression, obviously I went into the movie with lower expectations. Just like I want to say it's a Mad TV sketch.
Don't ever invoke the name of Mad TV, please.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad having ever done that in the first place. But weren't Key and Peele on Mad TV?
I don't know. It's not worth watching Mad TV to find out.
I think Key and Peele were on
Somebody
Mad
told
TV.
Me Patton Oswalt was on there too, but sorry, I can't watch Mad TV to find out. It's not worth the risk. What if you accidentally saw
Mad TV?
Mad TV, yeah.
While watching Mad TV to find out. So,
but lowered expectations is the way to go.
Extreme lowered expectations. I went into this film and I was impressed. I really liked it. I enjoyed myself the whole time. I can't think of any time that I was thinking, oh gosh, this is corny or kooky or cheesy. Like, Doctor, seriously? He's got a cheesy cape? You know, or whatever. And I never felt that way. I don't know. What was your impression of this film?
Well, I'm not coming to it from a point of absolute ignorance. You know, I knew about the Eye of Agamotto.
Boots of Joshua. What was it?
I have no idea.
Jablonski. No, Jablonski was actually... No, it was Blonsky. Just Blonsky is the...
Abomination.
Abomination, huh?
I knew a little bit about the character, and I had read comics that he appeared in. Never Doctor Strange comics, but, you know, Spider-Man running into Doctor Strange.
Do they even make Doctor Strange comics, though? I mean, like, does he have an ongoing book, or is it one of those many... properties where they like try and make a book and it goes for about a year and it doesn't sell well enough, so they finally kill it, and then they try again 5 years later and it goes for a year, and then it's like Moon Knight. I mean, you might as well be Moon Knight or something.
I wouldn't go that far.
There's nothing but appear in other people's stories. That's, I think, the only time I've ever seen him is like Avengers stories where out of the blue he's there to help them with magic or whatever.
Okay, and I'm the same way. Yeah, I never really could get into his world. It was just too out there. I don't know. It just, it didn't appeal to me. None of the magic stuff appealed to me. But we went inside as soon as it came out because of loyalty to the Marvel brand. Even though, yeah, my expectations were also lowered. But yeah, I have absolutely no complaints about this movie from beginning to end. I was like, wow. There were moments when there was just a big cheesy grin on my face while I was watching it. I was like, wow, this, you know, I felt like I was seeing something unique, something that you don't see every other movie that you go to. And I guess we can talk a little bit more about what it reminded me of later if you want, but,
well, the special effects were lit.
Oh, yeah, big sometimes exposes me to new slang, to terms that little pieces of crap use.
Yeah, well, I was taking a leak after the movie, and a bunch of freaking teenagers came in, and they were like, and they were super loud, and they were just standing right next to each other, one urinal after the other, and yet they were talking at completely full volume, which... I guess I remember a day when I probably did the same damn thing, but oh gosh, do I hate it now. I wish I could go back and kick myself in the balls from those days, but anyway.
I also wish I could go back and kick you in the balls.
Try it. Anyways, so these guys came running. Oh, those special effects were lit. It was like Inception level, but better. I don't know if they're saying the special effects were like Inception, were like better than the Inception special effects, or just that they were basically the similar thing. Because I mean, everybody, well, maybe everybody hasn't, but if you've seen the trailer and you haven't seen the film, then you've seen some of the stuff where they're doing a lot of the same things, you know, turning the world sideways, folding it up, and etc., like they did in Inception. So it's very reminiscent of that. But it was lit.
Okay, well, let's make a pact. We're not going to use that term.
Yeah, I complained to Rish for 5 minutes after leaving about these kids using that term. And here I am using it over and over again. Why do people... See, this is my new beef. My new thing that I like to bitch about endlessly is people... It's a slang thing, I guess. You have to keep updating it, I guess, or else it's not neat. You can't use the word neat, because that's old. Now you have to say lit. I don't know. I don't know if that's even a thing. Just, I've never heard that before. These three annoying kids, maybe that's just their dumb word. When I was a kid in high school, me and my friends made up all our own dumb words. And, you know, we said some of the ones that everybody else did, but... Why? I mean, I wish, again, that I could go back.
Were you trying to forge your own identity and say, oh, you know, we're going to come up with words that are only ours because that will make us special, unique snowflakes.
We're not like those fuddy-duddies. Oh, wait, that's an old word. You can't say fuddy-duddy. I was complaining about other stuff, but why endlessly people are making up new words for words we already have words for? Let's just use the words we already have. The dictionary's thick enough as it is, man. Let's stop adding BS to it that means the same thing. You talk.
would it be fair to say that both of us got Benedict Cumberbatched during that movie?
I was going to ask you about that, because you don't like Benedict Cumberbatch, from what I can tell. You think he's ugly and creepy looking and English and...
All those negative things.
All the really just worst things there are. But yeah, I mean, you always use him as just like this, I don't know, like if you want to say something creepy, then you call it a Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well,
and so what did you
he's
like?
He's got this terrible name. I mean, come
that
on.
That is true.
It's
they
one
used
of those
it in the Key and Peele sketch where they do the really bad names. There was the guy who goes, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, what were you going to ask me about Benedict Cumberbatch?
What did you think of Benedict Cumberbatch? If you don't like him, do you not like him, or do you just not like his name? Or
well, I definitely don't like his name.
But is that the extent of it, or do you think he's...
But I always felt like there was something reptilian about him, always something just really, off-putting and I guess unattractive is probably the word I was looking for, but I absolutely love the BBC Sherlock that he's on, where that was the first time I ever saw him, and I just felt like it worked for that character. I mean, he was super eccentric and isolated and he didn't care what people thought of him and all that, and so it was okay that he looked like Benedict Cumberbatch. But it was a couple years later when I found out that the ladies all wanted to cumber his batch, and I'd be like, whoa, wait, but that throws into question my whole idea of what is attractive, guys. No. And then, I remember the very first time we saw the trailer, I guess it was pre-Civil War for Doctor Strange. I was like, oh, they're having him do an American accent? They're taking like one of the things that is cool about BC and making him, you know.
Oh, he's BC now. Huh?
Well, I don't want to keep saying it. It's like, you know, saying Biggie Smalls into a mirror. You know, you try not to say it over and over again. And I was like, oh, no, that's too bad, because it's going to make him more ordinary or whatever. And also just having a British Avenger or whatever, it's like, oh, cool, that's going to be different.
Well, Captain Britain's coming, I'm sure.
I think Fox still owns that thing. So anyhow, I saw the movie, and he was Doctor Strange. He was the perfect guy for Doctor Strange. He looked exactly like Doctor Strange.
Yes, that he did.
He didn't even need the British accent. It's just the American also was super flawless too.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those weird ones where you're just like, it didn't guys, sound is like that how we sound to you?
It didn't sound like a 1930s reporter.
Which like, is here what we are in New York.
Every time.
And like to walk down the streets in the garage.
Every time I hear a British person on a podcast trying to do an American accent, they sound like a 1930s reporter from, like, you know, a golden age of cinema kind of movie.
Anyhow, it was a wholly convincing performance, you know, visually and audio.
Accentually.
Ooh, that's pretty good. But don't make up a new word for words that we already have. Yeah, just, and I liked the character, which I thought was interesting because he'd always been so aloof, always so in control, always such, you know, the sorcerer supreme, the master of the mystic arts. You know, it was one of those where he wasn't just, you know, the amazing Spider-Man. It was a three-sentence descriptor of who this guy is. And I could never relate to that. I could never get behind that. It was one of those characters, you know, that's the all-knowing... I mean, he works as a mentor figure, but he doesn't work as... You know, I don't want to read stories about him on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, it was just super humanized. And they had, to me, again, I'm going to keep using this weird word, they had the perfect level of arrogance and charm. And it just balanced perfectly because, he'd do and say some things where you're just like, ooh, that guy's kind of a douche. But it kind of is the operative word there, you know? It wasn't enough for me to like, okay, I'm out. And that can happen every once in a while. You'll get a character where it's just like, oh, you know, they kind of cross the line. I don't really want to follow this guy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you do want your character to be kind of a douche.
Well, especially if he has a lesson
that,
to learn.
Yeah, so that he can learn to not be kind of a douche, because you can't learn that lesson unless you start out that way. But, yeah, if you're too much of a douche, or, I don't know, I mean, yeah, if douche is just part of your character's, you know, description. And there's a lot of characters, and that's the kind of one of the main thing about Marvel. One of the awesome things about Marvel is that their characters are not perfect. And their characters, you know, they all have flaws. You know, like Iron Man's a freaking drunk. Although they haven't never really done much with that in the movies.
But, you know, he is super, super arrogant.
Iron Man, Tony.
Yeah. And smarmy and, you know, he's the kind of guy that you would get really sick of if you, or, you know, being around, or, you know, he has to be center of attention. Hey, as William Shatner is in real life, Tony Stark is in, you know,
fiction. Yeah, and on top of that, usually, and this is one of those things that I noticed this on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because we have Daisy Johnson, who is now Quake, and she has powers, but the powers often come with a cost in the Marvel Universe. You don't just use your power. With great power comes great responsibility.
There must.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just that kind of a thing where there's a price to be paid and that kind of stuff. It's interesting.
Well, the learning curve that they showed in this movie to get Stephen Strange from point A to, well, let's say that he got to point D in this movie. And the Doctor Strange that I know from the comics is already at Z.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoyed watching the process and watching him learn. And, you know, maybe he progressed faster than
he should
than a person normally would. But it's not a flaw of the movie. It's just at least they didn't invoke the fucking Chosen One thing, which you and I both have had up to here.
But they did say again and again that he was gifted in magic.
But they also explained, you know, he had this brilliant mind, he had a photographic memory, and then he had a determination. He had this drive to be great, to be the best, to excel. And that worked really, really well. I remember when I first read the origin of Doctor Strange and the origin of Iron Man, and I was like, wow, these two are really, really similar. But in seeing the movie, they didn't feel similar at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you narrowed it down to two or three sentences, you could make those sentences, you could fudge those sentences so that they were exactly the same. But the way they went about telling the story was, you know, not even close. But I'm just going to jump ahead to the end of what I was talking about, because I don't want you to be up too late. The learning process, the learning about this whole new world and mastering its arts and experimenting with things that you didn't know existed before was so fun. And I kept feeling like, oh, wow, this is like, I would imagine a really good Star Wars prequel would be about learning about the Force, about learning from the Jedi and having, you know, the Master and being taught this lesson and all that stuff. And I kept making that connection in the back of my head. I mean, it was easy to make the Harry Potter connection because that stuff is literally the same. You know, there is another world. There are powers that you didn't know existed, and it's magic, and this is how you wield it. But the whole time, you know, I mean, I would see like the... Do you remember Mads Mikkelsen's character's name, the villain? I tried to pay attention to it so I could use it in the review.
Shoot, no.
Yeah, I
want to
say like Caecilius or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
He felt like a fallen Jedi, a dark Jedi that had his followers and all that. And I was just like, wow, this could be what the Fall of Anakin Skywalker story could have been. Or it didn't
or
even have to be Anakin
like Kung
related.
Fu Panda. Oh. Wasn't it you that said somebody
told
you?
Was it like Kung Fu Panda?
Wasn't it you that said somebody told you that should be the Fall of Anakin? It's like the Star Wars, because they have the bad guy who used to be the pupil of the other Kung Fu guy. The tiger guy is the pupil of the one that Dustin Hoffman played. comes back. It's kind of similar, I guess.
Oh, I haven't seen the Kung Fu Panda movies, but... The ancient
one is Dustin Hoffman, and then Caecilius is, like, the tiger guy, and then Doctor Strange is, like, Poe, the Kung Fu Panda.
Okay, well, maybe that... I've never been so grateful to not have seen those movies, but I've heard over and over again that they're really, really great.
Well, the first one was great. I wouldn't go any further. Say movies is... No, just go to the first one.
But I think it's agreed upon, everyone in the room and whoever is astral projecting themselves here into the room, that the fall of Anakin Skywalker was not well told. The story of the Jedi. And just the way that the Jedi were, I mean, I guess we did see Yoda training a bunch of infants in one scene about...
Someone removed it from the Jedi archive.
That scene. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about all we got for training in those three... movies, which, you know, it was just not a priority for those movies, but how did I get, why does it always go back to Star Wars?
How this was fun.
But anyway, yes, seeing a glimpse into another world, and I was just like, wow, I would like to learn the mystic arts, and it's like, wow, I would like to, yeah, I don't know, that I thought was really, really interesting and fun, and it had different levels, and I knew Mordo, the character that was apparently called Carl Mordo in this movie, as being, you know, a Doctor Strange villain, as being Baron Mordo. And so I was watching him the whole time, waiting for something, and his disaffection, I'm not going to say his fall, but, you know, his and it's not even corruption, you know, it's just like the guy was fixated on rules, and then he found out that, you know,
even his great master was breaking the rules.
I was just like, wow, that, I can buy that. That's a really interesting reason to go bad, too. And yeah, spoilers, the final moment of the film is after all the credits, and we get to see him use, you know, clearly he's taken a dark path, Mordo has, and I was so satisfied by that. It didn't come out of nowhere, like others have, and
of nowhere, like Sinestro, where he just puts the ring on his finger in the post-credit sequence. It's like, oh yeah, I think I like this better. The end.
Yeah, that was okay. I did think about that, though, while we were watching the movie, or during that scene. I was just like, oh wow, that's reminded me of Sinestro, who is also a very interesting character who has his moral grayness and all that stuff. And maybe one day in our lifetime we will see him done well, but, you know. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Marvel here. And maybe I'm easy to please. I don't know. I guess I complained a lot about Age of Ultron. Complained a hell of a lot about Ant-Man. I don't know if I complained about Civil War. I felt like that was a really solid movie. But, I just can't find anything to complain about here in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, you must be easy to please then. Because, oh man, the part where the thing and the stuff, oh, I hated that.
Okay, I had forgotten about the stuff. You're right. I it's weird. I just had sort of glossed over the stuff, yeah, and
totally
the thing.
Glossed that.
Because I just, you know, like was having a good time.
Glossy. That's what. You know, one thing that was interesting that I did with this film that I've been wanting to do for a long time, but I keep forgetting to. Or prevented by other means, because the one time I was going to do it was with Force Awakens. And what it is that I've been meaning to get the soundtrack to a film ahead of time, listen to it a whole bunch, and then see what that does when I actually watch the movie and see what difference it makes. So I wanted to do it with Force Awakens, but they, in an attempt to keep any trade secrets from getting out, they released it the day of the film coming out, so you couldn't, you know, mainline the thing for a long time before the movie came out. So, but this time around, I actually remember. We talked about it last Monday. We talked, hey, yeah, we're going to go to the movie next week. And I thought, I started thinking about that, and I remembered this plan, so I got on YouTube, found the soundtrack, and just listened to it over and over and over. And the music is by Michael Giacchino, who it was a good, I'm glad that he was the guy who did it. He's a good composer. He makes good stuff. He's done a lot of good things over the years. He did the soundtrack to Up, which I believe he won an Academy Award for. He did the soundtrack to The Incredibles, which was really good. He's done lots of other. You were talking about the 2009 Star Trek film. I guess he did the soundtrack to that one. I haven't listened to that one, but I'm sure it was good, because from what I've seen, he also did the soundtrack to John Carter, which I really liked.
Yeah, he's really gifted. So, yeah, it was a good choice.
Yeah, I'm glad that it was him. So, yeah, I listened to that over and over again. It's a pretty good soundtrack. It is all over the map as far as the way the music goes. And I didn't click on this link, but when I was searching for the soundtrack, I did see, like, a headline or whatever that said that the music was inspired by Pink Floyd, which I guess that's an interesting choice for something like this, although not totally, because this is very much a trippy movie. Like the one time when she punches him and sends him into his astral form, and he comes back and goes, "What was in that tea? Was there LSD in my tea?" Because, yeah, it was very trippy. But I thought it really helped. Like, the first two or three or four times that I listened to the soundtrack, and every time that I listened to it, I was always having to do other things, so I couldn't totally concentrate on it. But somewhere around the third or fourth time, I started to totally recognize the themes and stuff like that as they played, and started to really enjoy it. And then hearing them with the film, you know, it starts off and I thought, oh, okay, this one is called this. Oh, this is the one. And that's the funny thing about Giacchino scores. His favorite thing to do...
Is it puns?
Is puns, yes. He does really dorky, punny titles all the time to all of his songs. And I've heard some people complain. They're like, I want Michael Giacchino to never do another score, because I'm so tired of his crappy, punny titles to his songs. And yeah, I mean, like, one of them was called Going for Baroque.
Well, he did the score for Jurassic World, and every single title I found amusingly a play on
amusingly
words.
Puns. Yeah, I mean, he does some are fun and amusing. Like, I've liked, like, he did Ratatouille, and, you know, he always tries to do something for the end credits. And so, yeah, the end credits for Ratatouille was the end creditouilles, and the end credits for Incredibles was the Incredibles, or maybe it was Incredibles. But anyways, the good thing about that is it tends to avoid spoilers, because, you know, I mean, it's got something to do with what's going on, but you can't really know what part of, you know, what's going on. There was one song that was called Hong Kong Kablooey, which is a pun on the old character Hong Kong Phooey from Hanna-Barbera, wasn't it?
Mm.
And so I knew there was going to be some kind of something going on in Hong Kong blowing up, but it was, you know, it was not a spoiler. It wasn't like John Williams calling
Qui-Gon's noble end.
Noble end on the Phantom Menace soundtrack. Yeah, I don't know. I found it to be a really cool experience to do something like that. The only other time that I've ever done anything like that is with The Nightmare Before Christmas. When I was a kid, missed that movie. It didn't appeal to me. It came out, what, like 89?
I would say 93.
Oh, really? It was that late?
Mm-hmm.
Way later than I even thought. At that point, yeah, I was well beyond the age that you would normally be like, yeah, I'm going to go see a cartoon or a whatever, claymation. What do they call that stuff?
Stop motion.
Okay, we'll say stop motion. Go see something like that, you know. And so I didn't see it. But lots of people did, and it became one of those cult movies, the phenomenons, all the geeks liked it. And so, yeah, I first came to know that movie by listening to the soundtrack for a long time before I ever actually saw the movie. I listened to that sound and owned it for probably a year before I ever had it. And I think that made the movie for me. If I was unfamiliar with it, maybe I would have liked it a lot. But being familiar with it made me really, really like it a lot instead. And I think if I... Yeah, I may have just been like, meh, it was all right. If I hadn't, you know, already been a fan of all the songs. So that was an interesting thing. I don't know, I'd recommend it to people. If you're into soundtrack music like me, give it a shot and see what it's like. It was cool to be able to kind of whistle along with the theme as it played. And to recognize it's got a pretty good theme to it. I'm sure we'll never hear it again. Because that's the way f***ing Marvel works. They're like, yeah, let's make some great music, and then we'll just get some other guy to make some different music for the next movie.
It's got to be a Kevin Feige thing, where he's just like, oh, I hate that. We've got enough continuity in these movies. Let's.
Yeah, I was...
Here's one place where we can branch out and never, ever have to...
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I was talking with a guy at work, and he was saying that what he thinks it is that Marvel wants nothing and no one to be bigger than the properties themselves. And, you know, they made the mistake with Robert Downey Jr., you know, and he's become this great big thing, and, you know, he gets super amounts of money because of it and et cetera. But, yeah, they don't keep using the same directors. They don't keep using the same composers, etc. I mean, obviously they use the same actors, but they sign them to like big old contracts before the movies are ever go anywhere. So they're kind of locked in for years before they make them into stars. And then by the time they're stars, they've killed them off or whatever. I don't know, but I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. But it's one of those things that I always complain about, and we've complained about it over and over again on That Gets My Goat. It's such a wasted opportunity. All these amazing movies about great characters that should have a theme like Superman. Why does Captain America not have a theme like Superman that every single person is whistling? Every little kid should grab their little Captain America shield and go da 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 or whatever, you know. There should be something where with five notes you can be like, oh yeah, Captain America. Instead, there's nothing. Sucks.
Well, there was that Alan Silvestri theme.
I know, they never that used we heard it again.
In one movie and then for 4 seconds in another movie. And I...
Yeah, it's sad.
And that, yeah, that's the best that they did. Is
they could have. I mean, they had your song that you called the Macarena that they did for Iron Man, where they could have used that again and again. And it could have been Iron Man's theme and you know, each character. And by now, oh my gosh, the wealth of songs that they could have if they had a theme for each character. Can you imagine how amazing the music would be as they hit on these great themes from 10 years worth of bringing in, oh, now we've got Ant-Man's song here, and oh, here's Spider-Man's song, and oh, there's Thor. It's such a bummer. And this, I mean, this soundtrack is really good. I liked it a lot, and it's really interesting. I mean, they're using harpsichord in it, and sitar in it, and then
some kind of Hammond organ or Wurlitzer yeah, or something.
They were throwing in, yeah, rock and roll sounding stuff. I mean, you can hear guitars and bass, and at one point in the end credits song, yeah, Rich was saying it sounded like a Pink Floyd song, and he wasn't wrong. It totally did. And then it drops back down into the harpsichord, and then it goes up into the orchestra doing the full triumphant kind of Doctor Strange theme. I mean, it was cool. Sadly, I'm sure we'll never hear it again. It won't be in another movie or anywhere else. Even if they do a Doctor Strange 2, which, you know, it seems like from the ending that's... I guess they're always kind of hoping that that's going to be possible. You know, I doubt that they went into Ant-Man thinking there will be an Ant-Man 2, but they hope.
But it ends with a sequel setup. Yeah, I think all of them have.
Each time they end with a sequel setup, and then, you know, maybe it'll wind up like the Hulk, which didn't have one. Or maybe...
Isn't the Hulk the only one that hasn't?
Probably, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, we saw the trailer for that one, which looks funny.
Yeah, another thing that's just wonderful about this movie, and I know that's a overblown word, but it's just like, sorry, I feel really generous toward this movie. It was good. It made me happy. Was that you got the two codas, which are one of my favorite things when Marvel does that. They give you a coda that sets up the next Marvel Studios film, and then they have a coda that sets up the next installment in this series.
Yeah, the sequel of the movie you're actually watching and the whatever's coming after.
And yeah, we got a Thor Ragnarok tease, and yeah, then I'm assuming a Doctor Strange 2 tease. I want to see a second Doctor Strange. I'd be happy to see it. And we saw it so early that I don't know how well it's doing.
Right.
Usually we see it like after the opening weekend.
It Monday.
So I can tell you how, you know, big an opening that it had. But I know that last night, before it had opened in America, it had already made $100 million internationally. And that's impressive. So we'll... my guess is it's going to be another big hit for Marvel and for Disney. And
yeah, I think it'll do at least as well as Ant-Man, or right around as much. It's hard to say because Ant-Man was a summer movie and this one is November. So I guess we'll see. I mean, November, December has become like a second summer now where they release all sorts of big movies. I mean, The Trolls was released the same day as today. And actually, three movies were released today. Plus, like, I guess it's not next week, but the week after is when the Harry Potter one hits. And then the week after that is when Moana hits for the Disney CG film. And Star Wars is going to hit. Is that in December when it actually hits?
It's in December sometime, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big movies coming up. So there's going to be stiff competition. You know, it's not one of those things where you just throw out Toy Story and it just keeps making money all holiday long, because what else are you going to go see? But, I agree with you. I think it's going to make a fair amount of money. Judging from what we saw today and how hard it was to get tickets, it seems likely.
Is that anticipation for this movie, or is that loyalty to the brand?
I bet it's loyalty to the brand, like you said.
Because how many people adore the character of Dr. Strange?
Nobody knows
him. He was the peg warmer, I remember that.
Yeah.
For years, you would always refer to him as the ultimate peg warmer.
And yeah, he's totally that. But it's like the Guardians of the Galaxy. When they announced the Guardians of the Galaxy, you told me that they had announced it. And I was like, who are the Guardians of the Galaxy? Because they were not character, like, I'd never seen anything with them in it. And at this point, I had been into this kind of stuff for a long time already. She's like, what? And you're like, oh yeah, and there's this Rocket Raccoon. I'm like, you've got to be f***ing kidding me. They're going to burn their house down. Why would they do that? And no, there's a good reason to have loyalty to the brand. You know, even the movies that aren't great, they're still, you never like, oh, damn it, I want my money back. I want my time back. I want my life back. You know, even if it's not amazing, it's still, it's good.
And yeah, it will be fun to see how this movie carries forward. Because word of mouth still means something.
It does.
And I would...
The real hits... You know, the ones that are huge generally have great word of mouth. And there's some things that are going to defy that. Like, The Force Awakens was going to be a huge hit no matter what. But, like Avatar, for example, you know, that thing played forever. And like Titanic did before it, you know, word of mouth still means a lot. Dark Knight made a lot of money on the tail end.
I would like to see this again. It was rather adult. I'm not sure if it was the most adult of the Marvel Studios movies, but probably. I would guess it would be this and Winter Soldier, but I think it was a little more dark and a little more grown up than Winter Soldier, and so maybe people aren't dragging their kids to it. Maybe Marshall doesn't bring his 14 kids to the movie, but if, you know, adult friends, I would definitely recommend this too. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that there are Marvel movies that kids can, you know, embrace. And there are Marvel movies that aren't for, you know, in the same way that something like Luke Cage isn't going to appeal to everybody. But they don't feel forced to make everything G-rated, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, all of those ones on Netflix are definitely not the ones for kids. My kids have tried to watch some of them, and my wife has not been pleased. Because that's what happens when you give your kid a phone. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else that you feel you need to say about this film? It was fun to see, like, the Avengers Tower and the New York skyline.
When I saw it, I made this involuntary noise of joy.
Yeah, and to hear them talk about War Machine, you know, the Army Colonel or whatever they said about. Is he a colonel? Major?
Yeah, he is a colonel.
The Army Colonel who broke his spine from a crash. And Doctor Strange is like, nah, give me a real challenge. Or not even that. Give me somebody that I can win with, because this guy's not going to... I don't remember what he said about
it. Well, the one that they presented him with right before the accident sounded like I should know who that is. Because, yeah, it was somebody who... Something had happened to them. I had some kind of bionic implant, and then they got struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, who is that? Like a teenage girl that happened to.
The Flash? Yeah, that does sound like somebody. We should... The origin story to someone. But yeah, hearing that kind of stuff is always fun. And they call the Eye of Agamotto the one of the Infinity Stones. You know, little throwaway lines like that here and there. And, you know, she says, the Avengers save people from physical danger and we save them from spiritual magical danger. I love that kind of stuff. I'm wondering, because, like, all that crap on the guy's eyes all the time totally made me think of the stuff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where those people are doing the ghosty people that you have at the start of this season. I'm assuming there'll be some kind of thing thrown in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I hope so, but I haven't seen any. Yeah, there's like an evil book of magic that's been going on in this fourth season of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I keep waiting for Stephen Strange to show up and say, I'll be taking that. I know a place where this can be safe. And I don't imagine that's going to happen, but oh, it'd be perfect if it did.
Yeah, maybe he'll get a cameo at the end of the season when they finally get it stopped. Although, is Benedict Cumberbatch too big for that now?
I don't know.
I mean, we've never gotten any cool cameos, really. I mean, we got Sif.
We got Nick Fury, and
was surprising, but it was the first season, right? I mean, it was the second
episode, and then the last episode of the first season.
Yeah, and I think at that point they're just trying to say, "Hey, look, see what you might get, people. Like you might get this, but probably not." That's, you know, you get cool stuff, but yeah, there's not that, and it seems, and even from what I've heard, sounds like they're moving away from having much in the way of cooperation between the movies and the show, which is too bad because the show was at its absolute peak with the tie-in to Captain America, Winter Soldier, not Civil War. That one was lame. But I do like what they have been doing with the tie into Civil War as well. And
they've been talking about the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah, the Sokovia Accords. Somebody's gotten a hold of the list of all the people who have registered. They're picking them off. And I think that's a really interesting thing, which exactly shows why they shouldn't have to be registered. That's interesting. And it ties in, I guess. We'll have to see where that goes and what happens with it. But yeah, unfortunately, it looks like they're going to move further away from that. So I think we can almost be guaranteed to never, ever see anyone from TV in the movies. And very little of the vice versa. I mean, we've got Sif, and I'm sure Sif will be back again. She's done two appearances in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I wouldn't be surprised if she did another. I would just love the Netflix one to have some kind of a tie-in to anything. But I don't think they're going to either. They've made so much money. I mean, Netflix stock jumped through the roof after Nick Cage Nick Cage. I always do that after Luke Cage came out because it did so well. Those Marvel Netflix shows are doing so well that you would think that maybe they could say, yeah, why don't we get a little cameo in, you know, for sweeps. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it'll happen. I think they want to keep their little world contained.
Well, I did like that it said Doctor Strange will return at the very end. And it'll be fun to see him interact with other characters. I mean, we saw him interact with Thor. So that's a little treat that I guess that we'll get. Yeah, the last thing I want to say is the scene when time started going backwards was just so cool. And I don't know that I've seen that before. It just visually, it was really, really engaging and just such a neat concept of the our characters are continuing their fight while time is turning back. Yeah.
They're still fighting forward as time is going backwards and things will fly backwards and like hit them in the face and knock them down, or the one guy got stuck behind a wall that built itself back up. And
oh, that was great.
Yeah, so many, and the girl who winds up in the fish tank when it gets built. It was just a lot of really cool stuff that went with that. Yeah, it was fun. A fun show. It was like Inception, but fun. Inception wasn't really a fun show. It was really kind of dark and kind of down. But it had neat special effects and kind of neat concepts going on. This was the same kind of thing, but not fun. It was like the difference between The Dark Knight and, say, Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that. Superheroes doing things. And in one of them it's fun, and the other one is really dark. Both good, but in different ways. And one was lit.
How dare you. Ah, okay, well, I think this is it. We haven't gone very long, but I feel like we've gone long enough.
Yeah, I think we've said... You've said enough!
Okay.
We've said enough. So, thanks for listening, everybody.
Stay strange.
Yeah.
That Gets My Goat is produced under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. Doesn't have to be, but it is.